Meeting order the planning commission work session. And we'll have to do roll call. Jim Patrick here. Bill Brannigan?
You there, Bill?
Turn the sound on. Well, I can see him. He's here. Lee Hardy?
I'm here.
Bob Berman? Not listening? Bob Berman?
He was here a minute ago.
He's here. He's there. I can see him. Jim Hausman?
I'm here.
Gary East?
Gary's muted.
Edson? Yeah, he's here too. Braulio Escobar?
Here.
Dustin Capri?
He won't be here.
And Greg Sutton?
Greg Sutton?
Greg on that? I don't see him on that.
I don't know.
The computers can't have audio on.
Okay.
There's your answer to whether I'm mechanically.
Hey, Jim, do you mind if we make sure that the people who are on actual Zoom can hear us?
Can you, Bill, can you hear us? Bob, can you hear us? Doesn't appear to be.
Bob, you there?
Hear us?
We got an audio issue.
We can sign language them.
Put up a sign.
You gotta put most of them put it up backwards. I figured that out. It's like you hold up a sign, you gotta learn to write back.
Mirror image, yeah. Okay.
Bob and Bill, do you hear us yet? Not a thing.
Are we waiting for something specific
here?
There
we go.
Yeah.
Can you hear us?
I can't hear you, Derek.
You gotta do it backwards. I think I can write backwards.
Can you hear us
now?
Hello?
Now I can hear you, Sherry. Yeah, Derek, I got it.
Testing.
I can hear you.
You got it?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay. All right, I did roll call and I put you down as here because I could see you. So.
Oh, I couldn't even see your lips moving.
Yeah, I wonder why. Main thing on the thing is under new business is a memo summarizing results from the South Beach US 101 Opportunities and Constraints Online Survey. Derek.
Thank you. I'm going to, for purposes of talking, I'm going to take this off. That's consistent with the city's rules at this point in time. And it makes it such that you can understand me a little bit better.
Does that mean I can do it too?
Absolutely. The way the rules are set up, if you're speaking, you can take your mask off.
Hear me.
So this is the, just was gonna go through this. I'm gonna go ahead and do a share screen here. So. Come on. There we go. Okay, so get the box covering. There we go. So we ran this survey for a few weeks. We had a pretty good response on this. 288 people responded. Provided feedback on a range of issues. Summarize kind of the key takeaways here with these 4 points. This is, you know, that, you know, service-oriented retail and food options are a significant need, and folks generally support the Urban Renewal Agency making investments that will attract those types of uses to the area. Specialty grocers, gas station, restaurants or cafes, or types of service-oriented retail that respondents most want to see in South Beach. I think food carts would fit in that as well. There were some responses in that regard. In addition to attracting these services, they want to see the agency make investments to promote a sense of place.
And what does that mean?
Placemaking?
Yeah, what does it
mean? Kind of an identity. I think that gets at investments as, do you want to kind of create a gateway entrance to South Beach with some artistic elements? Do we want to do, you know, where we have these detached multi-use pathways down there, introduce some educational elements, artistic elements that kind of define that area?
We don't have that for Newport.
I think you do to an extent in Nye Beach. You have a bit of that down there.
You're through Newport to get to Nye Beach. So. Nye Beach is like an end of a trip across Newport. Hmm. It's not an entry to Newport, and it certainly doesn't signify the quality of Newport.
But that's what placemaking is, Lee. That's the concept. That's what folks were responding to, that they'd like to see those types of elements introduced down there.
No wonder they'll pay that much money for rentals.
We have the welcome signs, you know.
And so, that's the enhanced landscaping and public art. They all fit within that kind of placemaking context. Improving connectivity for cyclists and pedestrians. You see a lot of that coming together already down there with the current project that's under construction, getting additional sidewalks in along 101. Multi-use path connections across 101 at 35th, tying in with the pathways we have on Ferry Slip and Marine Science Drive. So you have quite a bit more in South Beach, frankly, than you have in most other areas or neighborhoods or districts of Newport. And there's certainly an interest in seeing that and the connectivity with the South Beach State Park. Then a couple of questions on the survey we're getting at, What are your kind of three words that you would use to describe South Beach today, and then three words or phrases that you would like to be able to see in South Beach? That's where you get those colorful little kind of scatter diagrams here with the different words, larger words, more responses. So industrial, lacking, potential, traffic. No surprise, traffic, particularly this time of year. It's always congested down there, and with the construction, it's even more so. What would you like to describe South Beach in the future? Beautiful, attractive, friendly, fun, accessible. Biggest challenges? Picking up to three, not enough retail service, food options. Hard to get around. Doesn't feel safe or easy to bike or walk. When you get into the kind of the other category, no gas stations was the most prominent response. When they were ranking some of the different priorities that you have in South Beach. So these are investment priorities. Where would you place them? Lower score was higher. So what you see with the orange was your top scorer. So attract new development, promote a sense of place, improving connectivity for pedestrians and cyclists. And then it kind of moved away from there. When getting at, is there anything missing from the list of priorities? Sustainability and entertainment were the top pieces there before you drop down to affordable housing. And the visual appearance, which would be the cleanup attractiveness piece. This one got into, you know, what types of services do folks want to see, especially grocer, gas station. Then you get into camping, fishing supplies, different types of services that are not really tourist-oriented per se when you get into, you know, convenience stores, things of that nature, laundry, dry cleaning. Most common answer for other there was restaurant. Sit down being the highest, then counter service, cafe or restaurant. Were there any restaurant types we missed? Most folks said no, but food carts, this is where that got picked up. What types of physical improvements? Most comments came in with bike paths and sidewalks, new or improved public spaces. And then this question 10 really had, you know, where are the respondents coming from here? You know, most are South Beach residents or Newport residents residing outside of Newport and then working in South Beach. So that's kind of a summary in a nutshell. Hopefully, I think we kind of captured the gist of it here and the key takeaways. Do you guys have any comments on this before I move to the next item?
Nope, that's how I would have ranked them.
Well, how will this tie in then to the next topic, the projected projects and.
I think the attracting service piece is going to tie in a little bit more to how that 2.3 acres at the northeast corner of 35th and 101 is repurposed, which is not the next conversation. But we'll kind of walk through this. There's a fair amount on that next piece, and I'll kind of walk through how that's coming together. Anything else on this one?
It seems like a pretty good place for a food cart or a food cart court or something. If they're looking for food, at least summertime, that would be something that people might be willing to invest in. But you would think that small business owners will go there once they think that it has been beautified and has an identity to it. No want to associate with this new identity, but I don't know if you can get enough competition or enough sales in that small area to support some of the businesses they want, or those businesses would be there already. You do have a brewery.
It's off the beaten path. You have to know about it to find it.
Yeah. But that can be said of a couple in Newport as well. So, but yes, it's not, everything in South Beach is off the beaten path. If it isn't on 101, most of what South Beach has to offer isn't on 101, and you just zip on through. There's not much opportunity. You don't, the aquarium, other than billboards or something, there's nothing to draw you to
and the
it.
Shops down there at the
aquarium.
Yeah, the
down plunders. Yeah, those things have minimal exposure to the highway.
Fortunately.
Well,
Derek, how did the public's response? How did that interact with the, you know, the planner's vision before they looked out for the public input?
How about before?
Before there must have been some feeling or plan that the Econ West was, you know, contemplating. And I'm wondering what their plan and vision, how did that correlate with the public's vision?
Well, they understood that when the Urban Renewal Agency purchased that 2.3 acres there, that plan has been always to repurpose that property, and that there was some thought to doing that for service type uses because that's what folks we're interested in. This survey, a package of these responses to the survey reaffirm that that's really what folks would like to see down there. And is going to help inform at least three different concepts for how that property could be repurposed. One of those concepts likely to be a single tenant building, because on a 2.3 acre piece, and if you're trying to get your head around what that could look like, grocery outlets sitting on a 2 acre piece, if you want to visualize that, the former Staples, that's a 2 acre piece on the nose. The site down in South Beach is a hair bigger, so it can certainly accommodate a single tenant use, especially grocer type. Could be a small Bi-Mart. Their footprint would fit on that, you know. So getting at retail services, so one option could be the single tenant option. The other, another might be a combination of a, say, a deli food cart type arrangement, so kind of a hybrid, where you have a single tenant building, but then something like a food cart corral on the same property. So that'd be concept two. Third concept's probably something more like multi-tenant retail space, where you'd have areas where you could have retail use on the property. So those are the three concepts I think that are being formulated, and there'll be further discussions with the agency about that. So this is helpful in that regard. If the single tenant option is the preferred option, then there is a discussion to be had about, are there other properties the agency may want to acquire in that vicinity? Because you're only going to get potentially one of the types of uses you're looking for in a single tenant. So that's a discussion to have with the agency. Do they want to invest in, say, going after the building that, you know, to the south, which is, you know, and redeveloping that location? But those are conversations that also would need to be had with the property owners, and what's their receptivity to that kind of stuff.
Hey, Derek, looking at the maps, it looks like there's a fair amount of open property along South Jetty Road, you know, before it gets into the state park. But I know, because I walk the dogs down there a lot. I mean, there's a lot of people that go down there, surfers and fishermen and all the rest of it.
What map, Bill? What map? Can you give us a page or something?
No, I think I was looking at Google Maps.
Oh, all right.
You know, there's a road that goes basically from the bridge all the way on out to the South Jetty.
Yeah, the Jetty Road.
Jetty Road, and there's a lot of property that's never been developed along the side of it there. The only thing that was developed was there were some condos a few years ago. You know, from a business perspective,
State Park.
No, it isn't.
Once you clear the condos, you get into the State Park. It snakes up Jetty Road up to the condos.
I was looking at Google Maps, and it didn't look like it.
Okay. So any other comments on that memo?
Well, what about a fuel station? Is there additional property for gas stations besides that 2 1/3 acres?
One thing
that could be utilized?
If we can get the signal in at 40th and 101, you do have property there. And the thought is that might be more suitable for that purpose. Believe it or not, the 2.3 acres that the agency owns used to have a gas station on it back in the day, because we had to go through the environmental on that before it was acquired to make sure it was all properly decommissioned. So, yeah. But the thought is, is that really the best place to try to land a fuel station? And I think a lot of folks would say maybe 40th makes more sense in that regard.
Well, you could move the boat. That would be a spot.
Well, you got the property at the northeast corner there that has a bunch of U-Hauls on it right now. That's Rich Richmond's property down there.
Basically empty.
Cursor, wake up. Okay, so I'm going to shift over to the other memo, and I provided it to you in very rough draft form. This is how these types of documents make their way to me, typically. with an initial draft from the consultant with a pile of questions for me or other members of staff that I'll be pulling together. But when we get to evaluation criteria, this is beginning to frame what that looks like so that we can prioritize that final package of projects. We have the benefit of the input from folks through the survey, but we also have to keep in mind that any project that's done has to align with the objectives of the urban renewal plan. That's the law. So, you know, when you do an urban renewal plan, you put together what are we trying to accomplish with this urban renewal district. And by statute, whatever we're doing, we need to be able to tie back to those objectives. So that's an important piece of the process here. We will find that at the end of the day, there are a number of things that folks would like, recreational improvements, things of that nature, that don't tie well with this. And so those types of projects are the ones that ultimately will rate out lower. So, you know, the existing urban renewal plan objectives, there's a natural resource preservation piece to that. There's a support OSU Marine Science Center, as it was framed at that time, supporting the port in their endeavors in terms of their marine recreation area. And that a lot of work in that regard has been done. You may recall a lot of that existing marina and the improvements there were urban renewal funded or partially urban renewal funded. Encouraging marine-oriented activity in the shoreline areas, that's like NOAA, for example. Ensuring development that's complementary adjacent to the airport, so the airport is clearly a piece of this. Hard infrastructure, you know, making sure it's in place to support development down there. That's your streets, that's your water, that's your sewer. And allocating a major part of South Beach to commercial, heavy commercial, and light industrial uses.
Derek, I'm not certain that you would have an answer to this, but just how much surplus water supply does Newport currently have?
Surplus?
Yeah, beyond what we're currently in demand with processors, residents, tourists. I mean, I've always been under the idea that our water supply is quite limited into delivery. I mean, not just because of the drought, but we're impinging upon what falls in the winter and what fills the reservoir and what we take from Siletz. It is a limited source, I thought.
Well, there's our source water limitations, and then there's what we have in the tanks to provide service at any given time. So what we have that's treated and stored in those tanks it's pretty tight. We don't have a whole lot of excess capacity. Public Works would say that, and then they'd be able to spit out, you know, an exact kind of, this is how much capacity. I don't have that figure for you, Jim.
Yeah.
But I do know that we don't have a lot of excess there. And then with respect to source water, that's I mean, you know, we rely on the SLETs, and we all know where the SLETs is at right now. That's why we're under the curtailment.
We have limited access.
Yeah, so we do have the intertie with Seal Rock that's in place. So that is a backup that we can tap if we need to. There are some secondary water rights the city has. I don't know what the disposition is of those at this time, though, in terms of whether or not they're even viable, or if so, what we would likely be able to tap into. What I can say is unlike places in the valley, we can't just simply drill wells as a backup, because what we have down there is it's not good. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, because
you can't do a deep well here.
Right. No, you get into, at best, brackish water, if not salt water contaminated.
Not much iron.
Our problem is storage. And we don't have a big enough storage, and that's why they wanted to do Rocky Creek several times and make a regional storage water facility. Put a dam in, dam up enough water that we'd have enough to supply.
Yeah, and there's a lot of issues with getting that through and everybody on the same page. And
it may help somewhat if they actually get the dam, because they'll increase probably the capacity of our current storage.
However, it's really hard to plan with ifs.
Yeah.
And
Seal Rock has some other water rights, but they get most of their water from Sillettes too.
Yeah.
And so does Toledo. So yeah, that's where everybody's getting their water from right now.
Yeah, I just kind of see water as limiting to development.
Yep.
And we need to recognize that. You can't put, you know, 100 new homes in necessarily, or just because we need them. You still have to deliver those utilities to them.
See? Well, I would emphasize this, though, too. When you saw the curtailment order, you didn't see we will not allow new home connections to the system. And there's a reason for that. That involves a moratorium. We can't do that willy-nilly. And if we do that, then the clock starts ticking on the city having to come up with a solution for that, which would then be additional water supply. Okay. So I think it's unlikely the city would want to go the moratorium route, because then it would compel the city to have to bring online additional water supply, and it's hard to say what that cost would be.
Is it a supply issue, or is it, like Mr. Patrick says, a storage issue?
There's both. They're both. They're different. There's, you know, the tank storage is what do we have that's treated in circulation at any given point in time? And then there's your source water, which is what you're drawing from, you know, in the first place. Because what you have is that water comes from the Sillettes, goes into the reservoirs goes into the water treatment plant. From the water treatment plant, it gets dispersed to various tanks all over the city. So the treated water storage is one that we have to keep in mind, because we have to have enough in those tanks to meet, you know, whatever demand we have at any given point in time. And we do have some heavy water users, you know. But then you also have the, what's the condition of your source, you know, your water source, which would be the Sillettes. So.
Derek?
Yes.
I'm a little confused on this page here. First, it said, does it align with the existing urban renewal plan objectives? Mm-hmm. And then the seven objectives. And let's just take, for an example, Bi-Mart. I can't see as a Bi-Mart fits into any one of those objectives, but it does fit in the priorities. So how do the priorities relate to the objectives? Because they seem to be talking about entirely different types of things.
I believe we were tackling these as we go through this, and we're kind of breaking them out separately. But that's a good point, and I think we need to make that clear in this memo. So I'm going to need to put some thought to that, Bob.
Okay.
So just really, really quickly, we'll touch on the priorities. You know, promoting a sense of place for residents and visitors that reflects the South Beach identity. Improves connectivity for cyclists and pedestrians. Attracts new development that can meet the service needs of South Beach residents. Invest in overcoming market and development barriers on underutilized or vacant sites. Reduces kind of the hard infrastructure barriers, water, sewer, transportation, to enable job creation down by the airport, and then long-term community resiliency. You know, and I believe I'm going to double-check this, Bob, but to your point, I believe these priorities came out of the last substantial amendment to the South Beach Urban Renewal Plan, and then you have up above the original objectives of the plan. I think both are in play, and so whether or not they're given equal weight as we go through this, or one set is given, you know, more credence than the other. For example, the second set, since the substantial amendment was done more recently than the original plan back in 83, we'll need to sort through that.
Okay.
So what you'll see as you further go further into the document, you're going to see, you know, first the project matrix. So beginning to kind of frame out what the potential range of projects could be before they get prioritized. Okay. still some figures.
I had a question. On the 500,000 write down, is that implying that the potential sale price of that lot is going to be around $500,000 less than we paid for it?
Yeah, that's a placeholder. That's what the consultant put down there. Recognizing urban renewal is not about necessarily a return on the immediate investment of the property, but instead it's more about attracting the type of in-use long-term that's going to benefit the community down there. And urban renewal agencies often do that and incentivize a package for developers to come in by writing down the value of the property. And this is what the consultant's initial thought is. Now, this is likely to change. Again, this is an initial working draft, but they wanted to put something out there for people to be thinking about.
Okay.
There was a concept about a northern gateway to South Beach in addition to a southern gateway. I had a conversation with the consultants today. C and D may get combined, and that assisting property owners with annexation would also include the SDC buy down. Remember the discussion about, I know the commission for a number of years has wanted to see a normalized city boundary down in South Beach. Well, how do you convince some of those unincorporated property owners to annex and connect to city sewer? Well, one way you could do it would be say, okay, within this period of time, if you step up to the plate and agree, we'll go ahead and cover the surveying costs and we'll go ahead and cover the SDC connection costs for your existing use, not whatever you might want to do in the future, to get that to happen. Sure. Benefit to the city is then they get added to the tax rolls. So there's some benefit there. Further, the fact that the agency's extended sewer and water down to 50th, I mean, otherwise you just have lines sitting down there that are not being utilized. So there's good justification for that as a concept. Sewer infrastructure for the airport, there are really two options that came to the top. One is basically a large septic system, and the other is a packaged treatment plant. The septic system option would be preferable, provided the soils out there are suitable, and we need to take that step with the sanitarian, make sure that the location that's preferable, which happens to be the area in between the runways, got a kind of triangular area between the runways down there that would be great. You can't really use it for anything else. If that drains well, then that would probably be the preferred approach. It's quite a bit cheaper, as you can see. Fire suppression capabilities at the airport. Our thought right now is we may not need to do a major investment to improve fire capabilities down there. This may be just automating some of the systems in the intertie so that the intertie will automatically trigger if we do a significant drawdown on the hydrants to either side of that intertie to kind of equalize the water pressure out there so that we can have a little bit more robust performance out of the hydrants.
Do we have a water storage facility in South Beach at all?
No, the only storage facility, we have the tanks, but that's, yeah, we do have a South Beach tank, Jim, okay. But not at the airport.
Oh, up at the airport is where this one is.
This is at the airport.
Oh, okay. Well, wouldn't a tank help that kind of situation?
Well, that was one of the things that we were thinking we might need to do would be to put a tank in there just for improving fire suppression purposes. But it appears that we have sufficient pressure on either side of the intertie that we installed down there towards the north end of the airport property that if we could get that automated, then I think we'll be okay. That's what our public works folks are looking at right now.
That'd be a lot cheaper than a tank.
Right. Yeah. That would be like, that's software. And,
like maybe $100,000 or something.
$100,000.
Yeah, but a tank's like half a mil, so.
Yeah.
So we're looking at the technology side of it to see if we can't make it work that way.
Okay. Derek,
yeah.
Back to number E for a second.
Sure.
Is it just totally cost prohibitive to actually extend sewer service down there?
Yes.
That's always been sort of the phrase that was used, extend sewer to the airport. But that's out of the question, right?
Correct. Those costs came in so high that that's just not really viable. These were the two most viable options that came out of that assessment.
Okay.
The redundant underbay water line, about $3 million. That's a recent estimate that our contractors have put together on that one. If we're able to get federal money, and that's the type of project that's a good candidate for that, and in fact, we are putting together an application for hazard mitigation grant, then our share would be $750,000, and the balance would be picked up by the federal government. Again, we only have a single water main that feeds South Beach under the bay, circa the early 70s, I believe, and so it is timely and important for us to get a secondary line in.
And if I read that correctly, it's an iron line instead of one of the HDPE.
That makes sense. It's an older, okay. It's older infrastructure. And you may recall, we do have, we've been working with Rondas, and so they've, over there by McLean Point, and so they've extended water mains to serve their own development, but then we did a cost share with them to get those mains extended far enough south that we could cross from that location. So then it's just a matter of picking a landing point, South Beach. Probably not Marine Science Drive because it's pretty congested to get there. We would have to snake it through between NOAA's docks and the Hatfield Marine Science Center dock. And we already have a whole bunch of stuff under the bay in that location already. Northwest Natural Gas has a line in there. We've got a couple of different sewer lines down in there. And the old water main is down in there as well. So might try to bring it across over to Idaho Point, kind of go that route. Excuse me. This is a whole bunch of different cycling and pedestrian improvements that could potentially be done. I had a conversation with the consultant. They have a whole bunch of stuff on that list that probably wouldn't qualify for urban renewal investment, and we need to trim it down a bit, so they're going to be working on that. Signal at 40th and 101, that's a pretty good estimate. We just got that one. So you're looking at about $1.5 million to signalize that intersection, and that's kind of par for the course. It's not just the signal itself, but you're talking about having to do some lane widening and adjustments to make it all work. That's why you have the cost.
Is that total cost urban renewal, or doesn't ODOT participate in something like that?
Normally what you, not necessarily, you know, ODOT would not participate. I'll be clear about that. That would be urban renewal. We could use some SDC funds and we could partner with developers. That's typically how you'd pull it off. You know, for example, we're going to be also looking at 36th and 101, given the phasing we have with Windhaven, that apartment developer. And so what you'd probably see up there is an agreement where a significant portion of that comes from SDCs, and we have the funds in the account on transportation for that. And then a portion of it gets apportioned to the developer who's adding the additional apartment units, and some of it will probably get tagged to the urban growth boundary amendment. Remember you guys took a look at up there, the 40 acres that's coming in. Those folks will probably be set up as a reimbursement district since they're a little further back, whereas Windhaven, since they're planning to do two more phases of apartments between now and 2024, would be getting a straight-up ask in terms of their contribution. But ODOT, nope.
Doesn't a traffic signal get triggered at some point for Wilder?
Correct.
Build out far enough?
Yes, we have I budgeted about $20,000 thereabouts to do warrants on 40th and 101 and 36th and 101. Our hope is with Wilder that even if it doesn't hit warrant right now, the state recognizing what can develop up there and the fact that they have a bird in hand with urban renewal will find a way to make the warrant process work at 40th and 101. 36th will trigger on its own after this next phase, I suspect. So there'll be one more round, I think, where Windhaven can put in apartments without triggering the need for a signal, but that last phase would definitely trigger it. The last two here, J and K, will rank out fairly low. One of the things as we put this memo together, I was talking to consultants about, are there may be some projects that we just simply take off the list but keep them in the documents so that they know that they were assessed, but they came in so low that they're really not in the mix, just to get things trimmed down. Getting a signal at 50th and 101, that's too far down the road. That's down there by the concrete plant down there and access to our wastewater treatment plant. We're not even close to being in a position to do that. Same goes with transportation access to East Airport properties. We're just getting the West Airport properties going. East ones, that's a long ways down the road.
That's a lot harder to get to, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it would be.
Well, on 50th, though, isn't that ultimately, and I don't know what ultimately means, connected all the way back up and then to 40th?
Yes, you have a loop. You will have a loop system there at some right. point, eventually.
That road exists right now. It's just blocked off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's we actually have an easement over it for emergency access. So should and we have the keys. So should we need to, should there ever be an issue with 40th or Harborton, we would have a back doorway to get into that area. So this is where you see, the first round. I'm going to pin through these to get to the last one here. But what you'll see is what they've done is they've gone through and said, okay, the original urban renewal plan objectives, how do these various projects line up? How many of those boxes get checked? And then you'll see the same exercise for the 2021 investment priorities. Another question you had, Bob. So right now they're kind of being treated yeah. equally in their own kind of column. And then eventually this gets drawn together. Then you get the public survey piece. How do they align with the survey responses? And then it's all brought together into a single matrix. So that's how we have it structured right now. And to get to an overall high, medium, low for ranking.
Yeah. Would you like to take a stab at explaining why there's no highs on here?
There's a bunch of highs on here.
They're all the darkest boxes.
They're the dark boxes.
You can't read.
Oh, okay. I thought black meant no.
No,
it's dark green.
It's dark green. It's hard. It's well. I'll fix the color.
Green.
Wow, it's unreadable on the PDF I have.
Got it.
Okay. Yeah, I would borrow if all those black boxes in that first column there really are high. I'd have a quarrel with a few of them, but that's okay. That isn't the most important. The URA priorities is the most important.
So that's how this is coming together. Does this make sense to you guys in terms of just trying to come up with a way to rate out these projects so that the agency can make some decisions as to which ones they move forward with? Mm-hmm. So moving forward, we have a meeting with the City Council / Urban Renewal Agency on the 7th of September, and we're going to be covering a more refined version of this memo, and they'll get the survey results to the memo that you saw. And then on the 20th of September, we'll be sitting down with them to go over the 35th and 101 site and what the different concepts are. For potentially repurposing that property. And you may recall what we're looking for from the consultants at the end of the day is some language that we can put into an RFP and put out to the development community. So that's the objective there. And so our meeting on the 20th of September with the Urban Renewal Agency will be, are we going the right direction? Are you comfortable with these concepts? Do you prefer one concept over others? Why? That kind of thing. We do have one more large focus group meeting with folks down in South Beach. It's coming up on Thursday of this week. We have, what, Sherry, about 32 people who've signed up to participate already. So it should be a pretty good discussion. We'll go through some of the different project concepts, much discussion we're having with you, but a little bit different arrangement so that they can start to see how their survey responses are beginning to take shape into project priorities and how that's starting to come together. That's our objective. Any other thoughts on this topic?
Well, I was just a little taken back with some of the precedent imagery in both sets. That they just didn't look like, some of them looked like absolutely nothing like would apply in any way that we're thinking. You know, it's like they just used Google images to get some, you know, and it seemed like, well, it's premature, I guess, but it would have been nice to have things that were really more practical or more applicable to the projects that we got on the list.
Okay. We have provided some of that feedback to them. We'll continue to work with them on trying to get this kind of lined up, that where they're bringing examples together, the examples actually reflect what they're recommending, not just typicals all over the place.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts? Looks like we have a few minutes before the public hearing will start.
Well, question for you, Derek.
Yes.
The work program talked about another TSP memo today and the CET distributions. Is that coming up later?
Those will have to come up later. Yeah, they're not ready yet. That's why they weren't in this particular packet.
Okay.
That's where we'll see the feedback from the last public rounds or whatnot on the TSP?
Yeah, that one's still ongoing through the end of the month. That's when that survey will shut down. So we'll compile that information, and you'll see that in September, probably your second meeting in September, be my guess.
We going to get another work program that extends out a little bit more, or?
Yeah,
do you have enough information to do that?
I'll try to update that in the next meeting or two. Okay, Bob?
Sure. Thank you.
You know, I'll know a little bit more, too, once we have some of the decisions hit on three of the outstanding grants we have. We've got the TGM grant for the city center revitalization, and we've got the OWEB grant for the watershed planning, and then we have the housing, the House Bill 2003, the new housing capacity and production strategy ones. We'll know more about those in September and October.
Okay, well, where are we at with the council and food trucks?
Good question. That's coming before the city council on the 7th of September for public hearing.
Oh.
They had a work session last week and had a chance to just get up to speed with where things are at and what your recommendations were. So hopefully that goes smoothly. If they do choose to adopt it, then the new rules would be effective October 7th, I believe.
Did the school district show up in force again?
Not for the work session, but I do expect them to be there at the September hearing, and I need to talk to them a bit because the council didn't feel that the district provided you guys a clear answer as to what the real threshold was with respect to the subsidized or free lunch program that they provide, and at what point it really would be at risk. So they want to get, they want to poke at that a little bit more. And so I need to tell our district.
I spoke with the employer of the lawyer, and I said that 78 pages that that person submitted was a shotgun approach, and maybe they might want to focus what the real primary issues are. And he said, well, we'll just show up with 100 parents at the city council meeting.
Oh, Jesus.
So, keep that in mind. I don't know whether he's just pulling my leg or what.
Well, I think the superintendent made the best case. I mean, I wasn't buying any of it off the lawyer. When the superintendent talked, she made a case for what she wanted
and she
to
was
do.
Very passionate in that. And, you know, it was, you know, the meeting before, if we go below 61%, we're going to lose the funding. So the question was asked, what's your number? And they come back, 24%. But we make the threshold because we aggregate, you know? So there was a lot of a little bit of a shell game going on.
Yep.
Certainly. So, you know, what I got from it was council members are paying attention to the discussion that's been having to date. They had asked good questions at the work session and are getting prepared for the hearing on the 7th.
Okay. If there's nothing else, we'll adjourn this meeting and resume planning commission meeting at 7 o'clock. Also, I will not be here for the next meeting in September, but I probably will call in. So, but I don't know what we'll be doing then. If everybody's on Zoom, forget it. I'll run the meeting from wherever I'm at. But if somebody's actually here, they can run it. I don't know what we'll have up and whether or not we'll have anybody. So, but if you got people in the audience, it's a lot easier for whoever's here to do it.
Yeah. Somebody will step up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's kind of right. Kind of wait and see how things go right now with the city. The only thing we've done at this point is, you know, adjust the city's policies to put in place a mask mandate that's consistent with the governor's direction. That's as far as we've gone this, you know, we're not transitioning or haven't at this point said we're going to be transitioning committees back to video conference on a regular basis. So I don't know. I know we had set this one up because we knew the applicant would be participating from out of the area.
I for one would appreciate the opportunity to continue to do this. I think especially because you need at least 2 weeks advance notice on any hearing as to how it's going to happen for your public notices.
Right.
And, you know, so if we wait another 2 or 3 weeks and then they say, yeah, let's go back, then it's another 2 weeks. And I would appreciate continued availability. I can't see any downside to it other than Richard or somebody has to do the technical stuff. But other than that, it should be a no-brainer that it shouldn't be necessary. And I'm really worried. This is getting worse every single day in Lincoln County. And so I don't see any reason why we shouldn't do Zoom on an ongoing basis.